White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 574.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins! Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
Hello, and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment, in association with TheWarEagleReader.com, and by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, our Patreon.com family. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
Well, John, we didn't have the outcome I guess we wanted, but we learned a few things, and we had some other outcomes over the day Saturday that were interesting that we can certainly touch on. So all in all, it was kind of we hate losing to Georgia. We can't stand losing to Georgia, but there were stretches there that we seemed to be, do ourselves pretty proud. There were stretches that we didn't. So we got a little bit to talk about here. So how are you today, sir, first up?
I'm hanging in there. There's a reason we do the podcast on Monday.
Yep.
Because I was not a happy camper yesterday.
No.
I don't like losing to Georgia. I hate that team. But good to get another day and some perspective to talk about it.
Well, I wasn't that down at all, because you recall on the show last week, I said that we would not cross the 50-yard line, and we crossed the 50-yard line maybe four times and scored twice.
I think your exact thing was, if we move the ball on them, you want to give Bobo and Harsin credit.
Yeah, and they did. I thought that now, when we came out and moved the ball down the field the first time, I thought, I've seen this movie too many times, right? How many times under Gus did we roll right down the field and score on the opening drive against Georgia and lose like 31-7? So when we crossed the 50 more than once, I was very excited. Yes, I was. This was like playing golf with a pro, where you get the handicap, where you're not. You're trying to even things out. So I had a low bar going into this game, and there were things that disappointed me that we're going to talk about, like the receivers and stuff like that, the offensive line, the inability to run the ball at all. But generally speaking, I thought they game planned around our weaknesses fairly well and worked on some things we could exploit against Georgia fairly well. And I thought the defense played well enough, if they hadn't had to keep going back out there and going back out there, that they, for the most part, were all right. So where am I wrong?
No, I think that's it. I think the biggest thing was, we have to execute better, right? When you're playing a team that's more talented than you, you have to execute almost perfectly. When the play is there, you have to make it. Whether it is, block the person in front of you, when you're in position to make the tackle, make the tackle. Make the throw to the right place. And if you're the person receiving the ball, catch the ball. And we did not do those things, not just the catching, but the other things too. We missed open field tackles. We missed blocks. And we have to execute better and more consistently to get to a place where we can beat a really good team like that. So,
it is true.
I want to say this at the beginning before we're going to talk about Auburn and, how we played and the things that we needed to get better. The reality is, that's the best team in college football we saw Saturday.
Yep.
I've seen everybody else play both a couple times, and I said last week they need JT Daniels to beat Alabama, and now I don't think that anymore. So I think they're better than everybody in the country with their backup quarterback playing. That's how good that team is. So
I just got to say, for somebody that's almost a punchline, Stetson Bennett impressed the crap out of me on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
He ran on us. He passed on us. I mean, he looked like a pretty darn good quarterback to me. Maybe it's just all the tools around him. Maybe it's that Alabama effect, but when you got five stars in every position around you. But, I mean, he arguably had a better game than Bo Nix did, although working with different equipment.
That's fair. I was, let's put the game on Stetson Bennett to make him beat us, and he played very well.
Yeah. So. That's right. So clearly there's a gap now between some teams in the SEC and Auburn. And by the way, watching that Oklahoma-Texas game, I felt like showed that anything can happen to anybody any given week these days. Football is not like it used to be where one team grinds out the other one 9-6 or something. Anything can happen. You can be down 28-0 in the first quarter and come back and win or whatever. It's a different world. But that being said, it certainly helps to have the best players. And I love our players, but they need some help, I feel like.
Sure. No, I mean, if you look at the composite recruiting rankings and the talent rankings on the 1-85 in everybody's roster, over the last 2 or 3 years, Georgia and Alabama have kind of pulled away.
Yeah.
Like everybody else isn't catching up to them. They're pulling away in terms of how much talent they have on their rosters. And that's a problem, not just for Auburn, for everybody else.
They're pulling away from Clemson and Oklahoma too, and Ohio State to a degree.
Yes. Yes. So, I mean, Ohio State's still doing very well on the recruiting side, but you're right on the in terms of Clemson, Oklahoma, A&M, Auburn, Florida, whoever. So
yeah,
that's a problem. And, Auburn needs to, do better on our own in recruiting, right? We're not going to recruit at the stratosphere level of the Georgia and Alabama recruiting right now. We're not. That's an unrealistic goal. But we can recruit better than we are now and get better players and then develop them better, over the time that they're at Auburn. That's the other piece of it, is get good talent, but then develop the talent you have and turn them into better players than they walked in the door being.
Am I wrong to be concerned that if Georgia does win the national championship, it's just going to solidify them up there with Alabama and just keep their recruiting rolling, and they're going to be a longer-term threat? Because right now I feel like this is their little moment and it will pass. Just like look what's happening to Clemson.
It's fair. I mean, I think, that national title bump didn't help LSU.
No, that's true. That's true. That's true.
But I do it's fair. I mean, I think, Kirby has built the kind of, he studied under Saban. He's kind of built the Saban recruiting machine at Georgia, and they have better access to talent because there's so much more high school talent in Georgia than there is anywhere else in the South. So I think they have a huge natural advantage, and when they're organized and operating at peak efficiency like they are, they're going to suck in a lot of that talent. So it is a problem in that way. I don't know whether them winning a national title is going to make a big difference in that or not. So,
well, Georgia's always been this program, just like Florida was before Spurrier, that you felt like if they got a coach in there that could really lock up the state and keep it rolling, that the rest of us would be a little in trouble, that it could happen. And they always managed to not do that, which was awesome. But now they've got, Saban's right hand man, and he's just built another Alabama, I'm afraid.
Yep. That's fair.
Yeah. What was our strategy in this game as you saw it?
I mean, I think you saw we wanted to just hang around, right? That was the goal. Come out and jump on them early, being aggressive, moving the ball, play good defense early, and jump on them early to get the crowd in the game and to make Georgia kind of play from behind a little bit. And I think you saw, Auburn went forward a few times on fourth down. They were kind of being aggressive and trying to execute those things, because you knew, if you were, on the other side of midfield against that defense, you had to try to come away with points. I think we talked last week about it's a challenge to run straight at them. But we had some plays that were there in the first half on the perimeter throwing the ball, and we didn't make the catches. There were guys open, and then Bo delivered a good pass to a lot of players, and they didn't execute. I really feel like the receivers kind of didn't do their job this week, and that was a big part of it. But we were still kind of in the game and in the game and in the game. Even, as it went, we were down, we were up 3-0, and then we had the ball again, and that's when the Shivers play happened. That was really maybe the moment that momentum turned and kind of the game turned around. But even then, we held them to a field goal on that series when the interception happened, and the defense was still playing at a very high level. And, you know, a few other things happened. We had the play at we had Smoke Monday get ejected, and then we had the play at the end of the half where we had 4th and 3 and threw it in the end zone, and, probably got interfered with and didn't get the touchdown pass. So that was tough.
Yeah, basically everything that could go against us seemed to happen, and everything that could kind of help Georgia happen. They didn't really have the same calamitous circumstances, or at least they weren't called that way. In fact, I saw maybe Barrett Salee mentioned on Twitter today that, you know, it was quoted where Bo Nix had said that some of the things that were called against us weren't called against Georgia, or vice versa. And he actually quoted or he actually went through and named a couple of plays and said, yeah, here's where Auburn was called for pass interference. Here's where Georgia did the exact same thing and they were not called. He says, it seems like there might be some credence to what Bo was saying. And I'm like, well, yeah, we all saw it.
100%. And again, we didn't lose this game because of the officiating, right?
Yeah.
But it didn't help either.
No.
Right?
No.
I mean, the goal was to hang around and be in the game, you know, in the fourth quarter and then see what happens. And the margins against a team like Georgia are too small to have plays like that called against you by the officials to keep you in the game. You have fewer opportunities to score and make stuff happen. So.
Right. And the defense, I thought, was playing to that level. The offense problem, they took away our run, as we expected. Tank and Jarquez were non-factors for the most part, which meant it was going to have to come down to Bo passing the ball, which he did. And then we had 17 incomplete passes, most of which actually got to the receiver. One of them bounced off the receiver's hands and chest to Georgia, as we were just talking about. So the team, I mean, even though we were clearly in a position where our offensive line was not going to be able to open any holes, our running backs were not going to be able to do anything on their own, we were going to have to depend on the passing game to move the ball for the most part. We put ourselves in a bad position so that none of that would work. And should we have gone back to the run and tried to establish something, or do we just not have the horses up front to make that effective?
I think against every other team at Georgia, I think we could probably just do it. I think we could run the ball and have enough success, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think Georgia has, you know, the best defense of college football, and it wasn't going to work, right? I mean, I think it was – we might hit something here or there, and it's frustrating because, again, I get frustrated with Mike Bobo because I feel like we throw the ball too much.
Yeah,
with the running backs that we have. But in this game, you know, A, we turned around and before we knew it, we were behind. You know, and then B, they are tough to run on. Right, that's the other challenge. But
yeah.
I mean, do you think we throw the ball too much?
I think that Bobo has some good and interesting schemes and plays and stuff that can be effective. I just feel like he goes just slightly overboard with it and doesn't make enough effort. Like, for example, there's two, you know, when just the standard handoffs and inside zones and all that, when that stuff isn't working with Tank and with Jarquez, there's still two plays we have in the running game that can be effective. One of them is Bo kind of scrambling and making something happen and kind of the run-pass option kind of thing. The other one, though, is when we line up in the eye and do that toss sweep. That's putting, you know, what you're trying to do is get Tank, especially, or Jarquez, outside so that they're running downhill, but they're not running right into the center of the defense. And it felt like in that entire game we kept running Tank right into the center of the defense. And I'm like, he's a good running back, but nobody's going to get much going right into the center of this defense. At least on the toss sweep, not only are you swinging him around wide to give him space, kind of like it's effectively a pass to him in the flat. You just give him the ball earlier, but it also gives time for the tight ends and maybe another blocker to come over and take out some of those guys on the edge, the linebackers, the DBs. if nothing else, it gets you 3 or 4 positive yards, but that was more than we were getting with any other play, really, from the running backs. So I would have run some variation of that. And you can't run it every play like it's 1983 or something, but some variation of that every now and then just to try to establish some kind of ground game.
I mean, that, the little speed sweep kind of thing to Shivers or whoever, that kind of stuff. You're right. That's the kind of thing that had to be there. But there's still this thing with Bobo that I want to go back and look at the run pass mix over the games, depending like where we were in the different games. I feel like Tank is the kind of running back that gets better with more carries.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And is he getting enough carries to get to that place? Right. I mean, it's, again, take the Georgia game out of it because that's tough. Right. But it's,
10 carries, 29 yards,
yeah.
28 net, average 2.8. Jarquez had 5 carries for 18 yards, 3.6. 5 for 18 is not horrible. 3.6 is not horrible. We could have used a few drives where we had a 3.6 yard run somewhere in the mix.
Well, and again, like he had one run on this is a series that drove me off the wall. He had one run where he got 9 yards on first down, and then we called 2 pass plays and lost yardage. And so that one is a series where like you got 9 yards running the ball. Mm-hmm. Run the ball again.
Yeah.
That's one where I was kind of banging my head against the wall a little bit.
Well, and one thing in terms of Georgia rushing, I know that they did end up rushing for 220 yards, but most of that was late, I felt like, when they kind of started wearing us down the fourth quarter. They did not – I still have scars from last year when they just came out and ran roughshod over us in the very first opening quarter. They came out and just ran the ball all over us, and we didn't even pretend to try to tackle them, it seemed like. We held them in check in the rushing game for most of this game.
Yeah, no, they had 50 yards or less in the first half rushing.
Yeah.
It was all after halftime. So I think that was, the defense was wearing down and the offense hadn't done enough to keep us in the game at that point. So I agree. I think the defensive performance was much better than last year. Much better. And again, this was without Papo and without Smoke Monday for most of the game. And I think if those two guys played, the defense would have played even better. So that's hard.
While that McMonkey guy did get 135 yards on us, including the long touchdown. We held their all-world tight end Bowers to just 2 catches.
Yeah, that was better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. And on our side, there's talk about Shanker and everything, but Kobe Hudson was catching the ball. He seemed like he was going up and getting it, man.
Yeah, he's had some tough days, but he stepped up and made plays at the end of the LSU game in this week. So
yeah, he and Robertson, the two of them, it just felt like the two of them together had over 100 yards receiving, and it just felt like they were the two that were more dependable. I know that Kalen Newton had a cool catch that was really good, but Shedrick Jackson had a kind of a frustrating day. He caught 2, but it felt like he dropped like 5. I may be wrong.
He had a bad drop on a kind of wide open third down play.
Yeah, yeah. Tank, to be fair, Tank did get did catch 3 for 22, and Hunter caught 2 for 2. So, yeah. So, what did you think about Mike Bobo and all that? I mean, where are you now about halfway through the season in terms of how he's calling the plays?
Again, I thought he had a good game plan for the Georgia defense. I mean, I thought, like you said, when you go down the field once, we've seen that play before. But when it went down the field multiple times and moved the ball, I thought we had a good plan. You see these other teams that don't even sniff the red zone against Georgia or whatever. So I think the one thing I would say about Bobo and the throwing is I want to run the ball more in the red zone. Like, we throw the ball a lot in the red zone.
That's true.
We have 3 good running backs and a quarterback who can run. I'd like to run the ball a little bit more in the red zone. That's my ask.
I would have liked to have seen how last year's receivers that we lost would have done in this offense. I mean, obviously having Seth Williams this year would be huge, but all 3 of those guys, Stove and Flash, Schwartz, and then, I mean, it just would have been interesting to see what they maybe could have done
Sure.
Just because Lord knows we need the passing game to be working right now if everybody's shutting down our running game. So.
No, it's fair. And again, people are saying like even just Seth or just Schwartz, you know, could have made a big difference. And I don't blame them for going, but it's tough. You know, when you look at the passing game right now and we're not making a lot of plays there. So.
Well, you have our last little note is about the officiating. Before we do that, do we have any other thoughts about the game?
I think people look at this is the one thing I want to say about the game overall. I think people look at the kind of the end game of the game and the final stats and the box score or whatever, the final score, and go, oh, well, we got killed. So none of that stuff matter. But I really do think that, like, you know, when you play solitaire and if you make a mistake early with the way you play a card, it could come back and it mess you up and you can't win the game. You cannot win the game because you made a mistake early. Hmm. Like, it's like that with football. Like, if you mess up and don't execute something in the first couple of series, it can end up being the difference in the game and have a spiraling effect later. And that's kind of what happened to Auburn in this game. I think we had chances early and couldn't execute on them on both sides of the ball. And that, you know, kind of led to the unraveling in the second half. That if we'd have, I just think, like, it's not a linear thing where, like, Georgia had more talent and they just pulled away in the second half. I 100% believe those things are connected. And I think, you know, if we'd executed and scored, again, I feel like it should have been 17-14 at halftime. I legitimately do.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I feel like, you know, Shanker dropped the pass that hit him in the hands in the end zone. And on the other one, there was absolutely pass interference on our guy in the end zone that wasn't called. And so I feel like it should have been 17-14. And I feel like if it was 17-14, the atmosphere in the stadium would have been different. The energy in the defense and the offense would have been different. Everybody would have had a little more hope and energy and stuff. And the second half would have played out differently.
Yes.
But it didn't. So I think that's part of it that makes it harder. It's tough because, in the whole offseason, I was like, we're going to lose this game. Like, Georgia's going to be really good. We had no chance. And, like, Friday, I talked myself into us having a chance like an idiot. You know what I'm saying?
I saw people on Twitter saying they were doing that, and I'm just shaking my head and going, no.
And again, I say this to somebody, I watch Georgia. I know how good they are, okay? But I talk myself into it, and then, you know, it's the hope that kills you, man.
It is, yeah. No, I was sitting there on the couch eating cheese dip, and my wife actually said, I think it's going to be closer than you think. I said, we're not going to cross the 50. And she said, I think it's going to be closer than you think. And we went down and kicked that field goal at the beginning. She's like, see? And I'm like, yeah, you're right. I still don't think it's – I said, that may be the – I said, but remember, we do this every year against them, you know, except for last year. Or, I mean, 2019. Yeah, 2019 was the year that you and I were there, and they went up 21-0, and then we came back, and it was exactly like the 94 Alabama game. But, yeah, and she's like, see? And I'm like, no, I don't see. I do not see, I'm afraid. Boris the Tiger took a nap through the entire game, so he didn't even want to know. He woke up later and asked what time the game started. I told him it'll be coming along soon. Go back to sleep. It'll be along soon. What about the officiating?
Just, you know, it's what it was. I mean, McCreary gets that pass interference call against him where that gigantic tight end's pushing him around or whatever, and then our guy gets his hand held down in the end zone and we don't get the flag. And again, the targeting rule was properly applied. That was targeting under the letter of the law and all that. But when the offensive player is starting to crouch down and lean their head forward and the defender's coming toward them, it puts the defenders in a bad spot. And we're going to see this again. They're never, ever going to call targeting on an offensive player, even if they're diving forward with their helmet out. But
is that what they're going to coach players now to do, is to coach the receivers, if you see a guy running towards you, put your head down so you'll get him ejected?
I mean, I don't think it's that, but some of it is just the natural thing. Like, he was being kind of tackled from behind, so he was starting to crouch down,
yeah,
you know, because of that. And then Smoke Monday was coming towards him, and I think if he'd had another, you know, tenth of a second or whatever, he could have adjusted and got him with the shoulder but he, because it was going lower, he didn't have a chance to do that or whatever. So, you know, it's what it is. But it's, I think that rule is going to change. But the larger sense is, you know, we didn't get any help from the officials, and I'm just fussing about it. So,
yeah, it doesn't help. Every little bit contributes to the situation is my thinking. Like,
yes,
you combine maybe not running enough with the receivers dropping, with the referees helping them. I mean, it just adds up. It snowballs over time. And what about our offensive line? I mean, are we still down on them? Are they doing anything that should give us any hope, or are they worse than we thought?
I think they're okay. Again, Georgia's not a good measuring stick for any offensive line, right? They're going to make you look bad. But I think our offensive line has been okay. They didn't play well against Georgia State. But I think they've been good enough. How about that? I mean, I think the limiting factor in this team so far has been the receivers play.
I feel like
some of the defensive breakdowns early in the season, but they hopefully have kind of got some of that straight. But
I feel like Bobo has schemed around our offensive line's limitations to a certain degree.
I agree. I think you're very correct. I think that's it.
And it's made them look not as bad maybe as they could have looked, because he's found ways to – I mean, all the stuff where we've started having Bo run around, you could look at it as Bo has to run around because they're not protecting him, but you could also look at it as you have him be more mobile and get outside the pocket because there's not going to be a pocket for long, so you go ahead and plan for that.
Well, and he's running around because nobody's open at that point too.
Right. All right. Well, I guess before we get into our Arkansas preview, we have to check in very briefly.
This is the Central Florida Golden Knights Report.
Central Florida beat East Carolina, but Navy lost, and that means Central Florida remains the only team to be beaten by Navy.
This has been the Central Florida Golden Knights Report.
It was kind of a verbose one this time. I'll try to get back to being more concise in the future. It needed a little explanation is all, right? It was really more the Navy report this time, the Navy midshipman report.
Maybe just veers into becoming the Navy report.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I could play the Navy song. My dad would be so proud looking down for the Navy report. Yeah. Because Navy looked – we were just looking at this a minute ago. Navy has looked pretty good in every game. They played SMU, who are a ranked team, and they only lost by one score.
Navy was bad early in the season, but they've kind of gotten off the mat and gotten better.
Yeah, they have. Well, beating Central Florida, I guess, is good for what ails you.
Yeah,
I guess. All right, Arkansas. We got it's barbecue Saturday. That's always a good time. So
it's barbecue for lunch on Saturday because it's the noon game.
Oh no, no, wait, what? What are you saying? What time is it?
It's the 11 a.m. Central, noon Eastern kickoff.
The 11 a.m. Jefferson Pilot time slot of death.
I'd forgotten. It is. You know, Auburn, Arkansas has that spot a lot historically. We play in that time slot way, way often more, it seems like, historically than you'd think. All right. I have a couple of thoughts about Arkansas here.
Go.
They beat the stew out of Texas, and they won another game. What?
Texas A&M.
A&M, yeah. And they look really good, mostly running the ball, playing good defense, and when they're sort of Cam Newton Jr. / who was it said that he's more like – oh, it was it Brandon Marcello that said he's really more like Chris Relf, but more accurate? Yep. And when he was in there healthy, they were a juggernaut, and he came back – this week, and they looked good. Who did they just play Saturday?
Ole Miss.
Yeah. Oh, I tweeted in the middle of that game. I said, Arkansas looks like the better team, but Ole Miss is going to find a way because they're making better decisions. Ole Miss just seemed to be doing more with less in that game, and Arkansas was doing less with more. I felt all along that Arkansas was the superior team, but they just that decision, what did you think about it? Their decision to go for two at the end?
I was okay with the go for two decision. They were on the road against a team that probably has a better offense than them.
Yes.
And I just feel like in overtime, it favors that kind of team, and it favors the home team with the better offense. So I got it from their perspective. It was a chance to win the game and get out of the stadium at one play.
All right. The way that you frame it there, I agree. The way that you just framed it, I agree. You don't let them put that offense back on the field. You get out of Dodge. But I just, you know me, I hate going for two. I just hate going for two. And when you put the entire game on a relatively low percentage situation, after you've done everything you've done to come back, it's like getting all the way down there and then saying, all right, let's flip a coin, you know. Although the odds aren't even 50-50 really to me, so.
It's more like roll a die.
Yeah. Yeah, if you got down to the goal line and then the referee said, all right, instead of letting you run this last play, we're going to roll a six-sided die. And if you get a one or a two, you win. A three, four, five, or six, you lose. Would you be like, yeah, let's do that? I would be like, no, I'd rather keep playing, right?
Yeah,
that's true. That's what they did. So, but I understand. I think your rationale makes as much sense as anything if you're going to do it. So, well, how good is Arkansas then? Because it's been kind of hard to tell.
I mean, I think they're very good. One of the things we've seen, again, that game, the other games with Arkansas and with Auburn and the other teams, is there's a lot of variability, right, with college football team. The level of play varies from week to week.
Absolutely.
And teams at home in the right situation can look awesome, and teams on the road in a different situation can look not so good. I mean, Arkansas is a good team. I think they're very comparable to Auburn. I think Auburn has more talent. I think Arkansas has played a little bit better. They have those two good wins. The win against Texas, they were dominant, but it was at home, and it was really the perfect kind of setup. And Texas is a little bit of a – I'm gonna be clear. They're a Big 12 team, and they play like a Big 12 team. They're a little bit soft, but they're fun and explosive. And Arkansas pushed them around that day. And at Texas A&M, that was right when the quarterback got hurt and this Calzada kid was just starting, and Arkansas got him before he got it together. And they, were able to, kind of limit him and make plays. But then they went to Georgia and got, nothing. And then they played Ole Miss this weekend. And, Ole Miss moved the ball at will against them and ran for like 300 yards in that game too. So, I think they're a good team. I think, they have some good individual players, but I think up and down the line, like, they're not on the same planet as Georgia or Alabama. But I think they're good. I think they play hard. They're very physical up front on both lines. And again, like you talked about the quarterback, they use the quarterback run to their advantage, and it makes their offense harder to stop. So that's something to really got to focus on this week.
I have to say, you just described Texas as soft but fun and explosive, which sounds like last trip to a Mexican restaurant. What do you think about their coach, Pittman? I mean, it seems to me like he has a vision. He knows what kind of team he wants. It seems like they know what they're doing, right? They're not like experimenting. They're not all over the place. They seem focused and trying to do sort of one thing well.
They have an identity.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an offensive line coach. We're going to be good at this. We're going to be good at blocking people and trying to, line up and be physical at the point of attack on defense. That's his thing.
Is he the new Philip Fulmer?
Maybe. I mean, let's be clear. Philip Fulmer had a ton of success and was at Tennessee at the peak of their
spring.
I don't think he's going to go that far, but and let's hope he doesn't end up as late Philip Fulmer, kind of haunting the athletic program and making bad decisions. But
I have no problem with him doing that. That's fine to me.
I like Pittman. I think he's a good coach. He seems like, compared to a lot of coaches, he seems like a decent human being, which is hard to tell sometimes with these guys. And also, I appreciate the fact that he, position coaches don't often get a shot. And he did. He's been successful. I think that's probably a good thing for position coaches and offensive line coaches, to get shots at other schools. So
I think they've really embraced him too, the Arkansas people. Yes. They really feel like he's got him going the right. Well, let's be fair. They've had a couple of coaches there and by couple, I mean like 15, that really, you know, didn't have them going in any direction at all except down.
I mean, let's be clear. One of them, whom is our former offensive coordinator.
Yes.
Who really drove that thing into the ground. And that was just shocking to me. But it was bad. They didn't win, you know, a game for 2 years in the SEC.
Yeah.
And then Pittman came in and kind of turned it around. And now they're competitive.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
There's no doubt.
I mean, he kind of did like 13-14 Gus, you know, for them in a way. Just a different approach to it. But
I would say the comparison I would make was more like Tuberville, where we went from kind of not competitive, getting pushed around, to kind of well-coached, competitive.
Solid.
Solid. You know what I'm saying? I think it's more that.
Yeah, yeah. So KJ Jefferson, that's the quarterback I was referring to.
Which, again, prepare yourselves for 100 terrible Cam Newton analogies on Saturday.
Oh, boy. Yeah, yeah. Even though there's other quarterbacks that are probably better analogies, but they've got players, right? They've got a running back or two that although they had some fumbling issues, it seems like it looked to me like Ole Miss had studied a lot of film and had decided how to get a couple of those running backs to fumble. They would, whenever that running back, Arkansas running back, would get in the secondary, they'd put like three guys on him and just start ripping at the ball. There was very little effort to tackle the Arkansas running backs. They had a plan coming into that game. They were going to force turnovers, and they kind of did.
And he did, and it was very much we're not trying to hold you to 1 yard, we're trying to steal the ball.
Yeah.
We'll give up 10 yards if we could get a turnover occasionally.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what it looked
like
to me.
It's a different defensive philosophy, right?
I mean, it is.
More of a home run swing kind of defensive play.
Yeah, yeah. That was an interesting game. That was really a fascinating game to see those two philosophies play out and just kind of – I mean, it kind of was like the old Florida-Tennessee games, you know, where you had Spurrier and Fulmer out there. Kind of, you know, one's the mad scientist pulling all kind of crap out of the offensive box, and the other is just kind of wanting to pound it and play defense. And, you know, it worked out about the way most of those did, honestly.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's a good comparison.
Yeah, it was. Maybe that's the new – I hope that doesn't mean we're going to start seeing the Ole Miss Arkansas game be like the premier game in the conference. I mean, if Alabama and Georgia never play each other, it might be. I don't know.
It's definitely an entertaining game. I know that. The other guy they have on offense is Treylon Burks, the receiver. He's really, really good. Yeah. And that's a guy we got to watch out for and focus on stopping because he's big, athletic, and makes tough catches. And it's going to be – this is the problem for us is – we always see this the week after we play Georgia or Alabama. We're kind of beat up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we got to go in there. And Arkansas is going to see that, and they're going to try and go straight at us and try to push us around it. You know, figuring the defense is kind of beat up and soft, and they're going to try to run the ball right at us and take advantage of it.
Yeah, I can completely see that. It's just going to be interesting to see if our defense can stand up better to them than some of them have, because they ran all over Texas, did whatever they wanted. They did pretty much, to a certain degree, did what they wanted against Ole Miss. They just couldn't keep up at the very end. If we can hold them, I mean, because I look back at last year's game, we won, and I felt like we deserved it. All the controversy over that one play aside, it felt like we were the better team last year. I'm not convinced that's true this year.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm going to be honest. The two teams are very, very even. Like, when I look at all the advanced stats stuff, they're very close together. So it's very much a toss-up kind of game. And they have the home field advantage. Auburn can win this game, but we have to show up and play well. We have to execute better. We have to make good plays. We have to go in there and not turn the ball over and make stupid mistakes. And then we'll be in a position to, you know, to make it. I think we're entering a stretch where we have a lot of games that are going to be kind of even in terms of talent and team capability. And we have to go and play well, do the things we need to do, take care of the ball. But I feel like this is a game. They've been bad against the run the last couple weeks against Georgia and Ole Miss. And so this is the game where I'm going to say, let's not go in there and throw the ball 60 times, okay? I want to see Tank and Jarquez get the ball like 50 times in this game between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then throw the ball off of that. But let's get them the ball and make some plays on the ground and, you know, give the defense a breather with that kind of stuff. And I think that's the recipe to win this game.
I like it. I do. Yeah. So overall game thoughts. You say it will be high scoring. How do you figure that?
I mean, I just think like the last five times we played them, we've scored more than 30 points. Hmm. And that's no indicator of future success or anything. But I also just think like, you know, they're coming off a game where they score, where they were in a shootout. You know, I think their other games, you know, they scored a good bit of points. The Texas A&M game was a lower scoring defensive struggle, and I think they could play that kind of game if they have to. But I feel like, you know, both teams are at a point where they're going to, you know, both teams are like, we have to win this game. We got to make stuff happen. So I think they're going to pull out stuff and kind of go for it offensively. And I think that's going to end up with kind of, you know, both teams like pushing upper 20s or 30.
It sucks that this game is being played in Arkansas. I really wish this was a home game.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it'd make a difference. But we got that last year, so. Any other Arkansas thoughts? I have none, other than barbecue is good.
No, other than, again, coaches got their work cut out for them because we had coming off this Georgia game, and we got to get back up and be ready to play because they're going to come out firing from opening gun. We can't kind of sleepwalk through the first quarter. We have to be ready to go at kickoff.
Even though we have to be up and ready to go in the first quarter, even though.
The 11 a.m. Jefferson Pilot time slot of death.
There we are.
Oh, my God!
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good at all.
There goes Fred Talley.
He's still running. He's still running. Well, before we get into this week's Guess the Game and our listener questions and a quick around the SEC, and there's a couple of national games we want to get to too, I'm just going to very quickly remind all of our listeners that you don't have to listen to annoying commercials on our program. On any White Rocket program, on this one or the Babylon 5 show or the White Rocket show. And in fact, we are just currently 13 patrons away. I made a solemn pledge a few months ago that if we got to 150 patrons, I will start a new channel, a new pod channel, just for the White Rocket movie reviews, because we've been doing movie reviews. We most recently, you know, we did the Lord of the Rings 20th anniversary? Yeah. We most recently did Last of the Mohicans with Kathy and Andy and Jared. And we've done a number of movie reviews, not just sci-fi, but all kind of movie reviews now. We did Raiders of the Lost Ark with Bobby Nash and Michael Gordon, which was really fun. So we're kind of having a renaissance of new movie reviews, and I'm going to create a whole channel for it, not just in the White Rocket channel, if we get to 150. So we're only a few away. We just need a few more. We gained like maybe a couple more this week. We're getting close. So if you want to help out, and besides all that, there's the various benefits of being a part of our family, which one of those people enjoy is being able to put whatever you want down for your name, and I have to read it. And I don't just read on this show. I also read on the Babylon 5 show because Andy gets a big kick out of it, too. So go to www.auwishbone.com. www.auwishbone.com. Oh, and one of the things you'll be contributing to is that John and I are just weeks away now from going to Texas A&M, and we are planning on recording a plethora of new content for you guys on the way there and back and while we're there. We're going to record stuff audio. We're going to do some video. We're going to do our sort of men in kilts thing where we're riding in the car and talking and having wacky conversation that you'll enjoy, hopefully. And that stuff will be coming out, some of it maybe immediately and some of it over the next few days after we get back, and I can edit it and process it and post it and everything. And that's all made possible by the patrons. There's no freaking way that we could have done this without you guys. And we really, really appreciate it. And we're going to make it fun for you guys. It's not just John and me going on vacation. It's we're going on assignment to do something that you guys will enjoy. So if you want to contribute to that and join in the fun, go to www.auwishbone.com and click on the big orange button. Here are the fine folks who are currently contributing to that effort. They include Samuel Salvatore, Chris and Clinton Stewart, Carl Von Drunker, Christopher Burleson, Jeremiah Schumann, Patrick Hayes, and Allison Rich, Bart Lindsay, Bradley Blackman, Chris Usher, Gary Grant, J.J.P. Geese, Logan Chilton, Matthew Flowers, Phil Amthor, Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden, Ann Kangian, AU Falling Up, Auburn Tiger Talk, Ben Bloodworth, Cajun Gene Chizik, I think we all know who Cajun Gene Chizik is, Chris Thrash, Clay Henson, Dan Thompson, Daniel Odom, David Hegler, Emmanuel Seaman, Eric Morgan, Bobby, George Gaston, Jacob and Robin Fleming, John Otsuki, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Lisa Hammett, Science Officer, Mickey B, Phil Davis, Preston Settle, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Smoke 'em if you got 'em, Steve Harlan, Tank Hunter, There Goes Davis, Valiant Hermes, plus WDE Richie, Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Winston Body, Around the Bowl and Down the Hole, RTR, Auburn Blue, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, Brandon the Smith, Brian the Albanese, Cato the Barner, and Chris the Hilton, plus Colby Butler, Darius Benton, David Simpson, Di Bama, any day. Oh, they did. Oh, did they ever. We're going to get to that in just a minute. Earl Ricks, Eric Mahan, Heather, and Yancey Steingrabber. That's our latest additions. Welcome aboard. Helping Van upgrade his insulation. That I appreciate, because if we were filming this late at night, my wife would be complaining that she could hear us or hear me. I need to put some insulation up here in the ceiling. That'll come along soon. Hugh Anderson, Josh Teal, Kevin Canoy, Kevin Mahan, Lane Middleton, Melissa Blackstone, Mike Finley. NC State would have loved Jefferson Pilot. I'm not quite sure what that means, but I like it. Algorithm, Papa Todd, Patrick Williams, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Ross, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Snowdog. This is the year Bo Nix has improved so much under this new offense. He's focused, he's having fun. I wouldn't be surprised if. Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Van needs to listen to hellbentatl.com. Now, this is genius. Somebody's using their Patreon patronage to put their website URL. And I think that's really good. So if you guys have a website you want to advertise, just go to www.auwishbone.com, put the website down as your name, and I'll have to read it. So Van needs to listen to HellBentATL, HellBentATL.com. That's really good. We'll always have Baton Rouge, Stephen. Alex Nguyen, Auburn Elvis, Ben Amos, Ben Riggis, Bo and Aubie, don't shake Baker's hand when he comes out of the bathroom. That's fair enough. C. Braun, AU, good. Charles Mooney, Chris Como, Colonel Dad. Come to think of it, John Ringer is also deficient. Why does Bob Sammons listen to this show? Oh, Bob is having too much fun. Construction Tiger, Daniel Barnett, David Smiley, Elizabeth Donald, excuse me. Okay. You're excused. Ice Cream Clone with a Boba Fett head. I'll buy this for a dollar. James Taylor, Jason the Weasel Skull Alric, John Stubbs, John Zavachin, John Soundboard has an entry now. Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kathy Bright, Kenneth Brent Rains, Michael Halbrook, Michael O'Connor, Paul Bankson, Robert Drain, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland. Sal Canella is upset. We now throw to tight ends. Spanky Big Bootay, John and Van are monkey boys. Yeah, that's true. Steven Thompson, Trevor Johnson, Brant Rumble, plus Chris, and our one-time and anonymous donors. You know, it's a long list, but I don't mind reading it a bit because you guys are and you guys and ladies are awesome, and we thank you all. www.auwishbone.com. Is it time for Guess the Game?
Bring it on.
Here we go. Open there. Who can
it be now? Greetings to Van, John, and the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrecht, the yard sale artist, here with Guess the Game, episode 30. This 30th episode of Guess the Game is brought to you by Brett Wiggy Bear Wiggins. So let's see what Brett has got in the Guess the Game bag for you guys today.
And likely your ball game here on fourth down and a long 12 to go. Crowd on their feet. Two wideouts to the near side. That's and to the far side of the field. One back in the backfield. Comes under center. Here comes the blitz. Chased out of there. Throws it downfield. It's caught by at the 12. That's a first down, Auburn. They spot it at the 13. 16 yards on the play. Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
It wasn't very conventional. Just bought his time, and he got tattooed, but he stood in there and made the throw, about a 15 or 18-yard comeback, and comes up with a big first down. Took some hard licks, but hung on to the ball. First down inside the 15-yard line.
Just across the 14 is where they spot it. 2:47 to go.
Okay, there you have it. I will see you guys in the hint file.
I have a feeling about this one for a couple of reasons, and I may be entirely wrong, but I have a sense. All right. I think that that was Rod Bramblett, and I don't know that that was Stan.
I thought it was Stan, but I could be wrong.
Maybe. But I'm thinking that before Stan, it was Charlie Trotman.
Okay.
I feel like that's the 2004 LSU first down to Courtney Taylor before the touchdown.
Okay.
Because you remember we had a fourth down we had to convert, and we hit Courtney. And then on the next play, Cadillac like lost a yard or something. And then on the next play, we hit Courtney in the end zone for the touchdown. Then there was the whole circus with the extra point where we missed it, and they got called for jumping over the line or whatever, and then we made it. You have any
Okay, that the interesting thing about that was he said it was like 2 minutes and 48 seconds left in the game.
Yeah.
Which kind of leads me to that game as an option, because it wasn't a last second scoring thing. So it was a lower scoring, lower offense game where we were making a play, and they didn't have the play after that, right?
Yeah.
Maybe because we would know that play.
Yeah.
So I like your guess.
The thing I was trying to figure out with Stan White and Charlie Trotman was if it was Charlie Trotman, then it was very early in Rod's career, and Rod started in 03. So this would have been his second year. So maybe it was before they switched to Stan.
Okay.
That would fit. I mean, maybe it was Stan, but I just feel like he had Charlie Trotman for a couple of years, and then it went to Stan. So.
Okay.
Well, let's hear the I'm leaning toward 2004 LSU, but let's hear the hint.
Gentlemen, let's remove those bleeps and give this hint file a listen.
Likely your ball game here on fourth down and a long 12 to go.
12 at the 28.
Crowd on their feet. Two wideouts to the near side. That's Taylor and Nick Sobamano to the far side of the field. One back in the backfield. Campbell comes under center. Here comes the blitz. Chased out of there. Campbell throws it downfield. It's caught by Taylor at the 12. That's a first down, Auburn. They spot it at the 13. 16 yards on the play. Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
It wasn't very conventional. Jason Campbell just bought his time, and he got tattooed, but he stood in there and made the throw, about a 15 or 18-yard comeback. And Courtney Taylor comes up with a big first down. Jason Campbell took some hard licks, but Courtney Taylor hung on to the ball. First down inside the 15-yard line.
Just across the 14 is where they spot it. 2:47 to go.
Ooh, boy. A key down there and a key game to pick up a key win. I guess I'll see you in the key answer file.
You are definitely correct, because we got Mix, we got Obamanu, we got Jason Campbell, Courtney Taylor making the big catch.
I'm just trying to figure out if that – I can't tell if that was Stan or if that was Charlie Trotman. They sound a lot alike.
I thought it was just younger Stan.
Okay. All right. Well, we can go with that. I'm just not really sure. If I can't tell, then I'm not going to say. I think that was it. So here is the answer file.
All right, John, Van, if you guys went all in on 2004, Auburn playing LSU – well, you got it. It's always so sad to see Nick Saban take those losses to an Auburn team, isn't it? Well, not really. But anyways, if you have a suggestion for Guess the Game, you can send them to me at Yard Sale Artist, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's all at Yard Sale Artist. And until next time, gentlemen, War Eagle.
I really liked that it wasn't the touchdown, that it was a key play before the touchdown. That made it a little more challenging, honestly.
That was honestly a really good suggestion for a play, because it was a big, memorable play, but it wasn't the winning score.
Yeah. Yep. Good old Jason.
Thank you to the listener, and thank you, yard sale artist. That was really fun.
It was. Right. Well, I guess that means that we have to, where did it go? Oh, push the blue button.
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, 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 on the AU Wishbone podcast.
All right. What do we got? Probably not as many as last week, but.
Not as many as last week because we're recording a little bit earlier. First question is from Samuel Salvatore.
Yes.
Who says, hey guys, War Eagle, does Kirby Smart just hate Auburn? He ran a fake field goal on fourth down a few years ago while up 42-10. In this game, he ran a pass play up 34-10 late in the fourth quarter. Is this evidence he just wants to run the score up on Auburn only? And then he has a second part of his question, but I'm going to say maybe on the does credit he hate Auburn, but in this case, it's our fault he threw the pass.
Yes.
You know, Harsin called a couple of timeouts in a row. We were down 34. Again, we're down 34-10, call timeout.
Yes.
If you want the game to be over, don't call timeout.
That's
you
know, correct.
But we were calling timeout because he wanted to get Finley a series in the game, supposedly. Hmm. And that's, you know, Georgia's like, if you're going to call timeout, we're going to keep trying. And that's why they threw the long pass. So that is what happened there. I don't blame Kirby Smart for that one as much as I blame for the field goal. And we could talk in a minute about, like, you know, Dan Mullen up 21-0 faked a punt against Vanderbilt this weekend. That is being a schmuck. So,
no, I had exactly the same thought ready to go that you did. So you nailed it.
All right. So the second part of the question is, do you think SEC officials should be evaluated after every game? How does it take 10 minutes to get a review on punt returner's knee being down? How is Georgia allowed to grab our receiver's arms a fourth down play and they call an unsportsmanlike penalty on our guy for celebrating a tackle and their guy hits Shinker from behind on a very uncatchable pass? He says, in my opinion, the commissioner of the SEC is a joke hiring these refs. I get that we get plenty of missed opportunities on offense and I'm not faulting the officials, but player safety and reviews are there for a reason. What is your take on this?
Yeah, well, my views on how the referees have been doing this has been made very clear, so I agree with all that. And it should be faster. I mean, I want them to be thorough, but some of these just seem ridiculous when it's so obvious.
It is. Some of the times when there's multiple things going on, you know, on the punt return play, there was, you know, the guy was down. They called the penalty on Georgia. There could have been a face mask on them and on us on that play. There was a lot going on.
There was.
But I agree, it is too slow, and especially when you're in the stadium, it's tough sometimes.
Yeah.
For those reviews. All right. The next question is from Preston Settle, who says, John and Van, currently, what position group is the biggest problem for Auburn's football team? War Eagle, Preston Settle.
You say it's the receivers, right?
That's my opinion. I think that's the biggest problem right now. And I don't know how we get there. We fired the receivers coach a couple weeks ago with 7 drops in this game. I think they're guys, they aren't playing, but their view is those guys aren't doing well enough in practice to be in the rotation to play. So I think, you know, continue to recruit a receiver and,
hope the new coach can coach him up.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I mean, I think that's the answer.
And he seems like he has a resume that he could do that. We'll see.
Yeah, I hope so. I just think, like, challenge getting open against tough coverage and challenge making – like, we're not catching the ball and making plays. That's the other big part. We need somebody who can catch the ball, make a guy miss, and go get us 50 yards, you know? And that is never happening for this team right now. All right. And is there another position group that you would think we should nominate? Or?
Well, we talked a minute ago about, to some degree, the reason the receivers are being in that position is that we're having to scheme around the offensive line and put more pressure on the receivers. So if you had a stronger offensive line, A, the passing game would be a little crisper because Bo wouldn't be running all over the place. And B, we could establish a running game to help it out a little bit. So that's to me.
I'd agree. I think that's very fair. Lister question from Manderman on Twitter. Here's the question for the podcast. How awesome is Bruce Pearl?
Yes. Oh my gosh. He was up in the stands with no shirt on, screaming and everything. Oh my goodness. I mean, he's the best. He really is.
He is, and I love Bruce Pearl. Again, it was a huge recruiting weekend for football and basketball, and Bruce Pearl was in the student section with the basketball team without a shirt on, going crazy, with a bunch of recruits nearby. And Cam Newton came in there with him. Like, it was, but Bruce Pearl's great. Like, he's doing what he can do to help, you know, make things fun and exciting, and I appreciate him a lot.
Was it not you that said on Twitter maybe or something, said, you know, you just bring in these recruits and point to what's happening on the field and say, you can start next year? Somebody said, you can start next year. Look at this.
Part of the appeal to players is, to recruits, is, look, we need you. You know, we need more difference makers. And so if you are a difference maker, come to Auburn and come and play.
Yeah.
All right. Last question is from Chris Stewart of Chris and Clinton Stewart.
Yep.
A pair of questions. He says, in an ode to irrelevant simulations, please estimate the score if the dropped or incomplete passes have been receptions.
You did this a while ago. I couldn't keep track of it, but you have it under control.
Well, I mean, Bo Nix's adjusted completion percentage, which is the, you know, this is a stat basically that says, what's his completion percentage if the receivers catch the balls that he threw that hit them in the hands, was like 88%. Okay. And that's good enough to keep us in the game.
Yeah.
So I don't, again, I feel like, it, we would have been in the game at halftime. We would have been, you know, competitive. I'm not saying we would have beaten Georgia, but I think it would have been a four-quarter game.
It might have opened up the running backs a little bit too. Might have had some more rushing yards.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Once you make it plays, then everything kind of works better, right?
Yeah.
Them throwing the ball helped them run the ball later. So
yeah.
He says, then unrelatedly, on a scale of 1 to 10, how did you feel after the Auburn loss, and what happened to that number? What you saw that Alabama had been upset?
I was just totally dead even emotionally, because, like I said, I didn't expect us to do anything, and we did something, but yet we still ended up losing 34-10. So it was kind of like, I ended up kind of on balance right on the middle, right? Because part of it made me a little encouraged, and part of it discouraged me, and I was dead even. And then when Alabama lost, I was like, all right, it's been a good evening. I went to bed very happy that night. I was done with us by that point, you know, and I was on to the enjoying Alabama losing part of my daily, you know, enjoyment. So yeah,
this is a tough, one, because it is tough to lose to Georgia. It did bother me, but the other side was, like, I can appreciate this. Alabama losing, and it was overall from A to Z, it was a great day of college football.
Yeah.
Like, it was, we're going to talk about that in a minute. It was a great day of college football. And Alabama losing is always a good thing.
Absolutely. It's always.
Never a good thing. Will not be a positive. So, maybe I was a 3 after the game. And I went up to a 7. I don't know. But, all right. That's it for listener questions.
All right.
Let's take a trip around the
Well, we talked about Ole Miss beating Arkansas. We talked about, to a certain degree, A&M beating Alabama. Where did that come from? Where did Texas A&M suddenly become competent?
Again, wide variability of college football.
Yeah.
Auburn executed very poorly. Texas A&M executed perfectly. And Alabama kind of played like crap. Here's a couple of things. All right. One is, I want to establish a rule in this podcast going forward that if a team starts a true freshman quarterback in the SEC, we will assume one road loss minimum. Okay. Like, I don't care who they are. If you, that, like, whatever the number is you think for that team, if they're going to start a true freshman quarterback all year, we're adding a road loss. We're just going to add one to the L column. Okay. Be outside of the normal expectations. We should have done that with Bo Nix. And we saw that here with Bryce Young. He was fine. But the rest of the team really wasn't. Their offensive line was bad in this game. And again, Texas A&M play, this is as well as they can possibly play. Like, this is 10 out of 10 for them. This is the peak.
Yeah.
They cannot play better. Everything kind of worked for them. And the other thing is, I think, I mean, everybody in America, us included, felt like Alabama was going to come back and win this game, right?
Yeah.
Like, they were just coming back the whole time, and there was no urgency or panic or anything. And the feeling was like, okay, at some point is they're going to click and they're going to pull away and win this game. And then they just didn't, right, at the end. And I think the fact that they didn't get a little more urgent earlier leads, you know, it's easy to go back and go, oh, gosh, maybe we should have a little more urgency earlier in the game. That was it.
Yeah.
So,
no kidding.
But, you know, it's always a joy. But that does not mean that I think Texas A&M is suddenly good or competent. I think this was just the peak for them. This is the absolute best they can be. I do think that, you know, again, that Calzada guy has played in a few games now and he's played better. But this was his, whatever, Bo Nix against Akron kind of game. Like, this is like, he'll never be this good in practice.
Well, I was going to say two things. One, I don't think this has anything to do with how we're going to do against them, because they're not going to come out and do like that again. No. And number two, it seemed like their downfield passing game just started working. And that was the difference to me in the game, was that when they needed to make a long pass to a receiver downfield for a touchdown or a first down, it was the exact opposite of us against Georgia. It was just there. And I don't know whether it's because they just had a career night or both, or that Alabama's defense wasn't what we were expecting, or just a kind of a combination. I guess it was a combination. But they were able to get what they needed out of their passing game when they had to have it almost every time, which shocked me, because I thought Alabama was about to put the clamps down on them. And that was the difference.
I agree. Yeah. No, I agree 100%. And I thought – and the other thing is, like, Alabama couldn't – or didn't line up and run the ball and kind of take control of this game physically. They're kind of doing the thing that I was fussing about us doing, maybe throwing the ball a little too much. So you're right, though. Like, when A&M needed to make plays throwing the ball, they did again and again.
LSU beat Kentucky 42-21, and it probably wasn't even that close. I mean, Kentucky. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I had it in my mind. I was just saying it wrong. Absolutely. Kentucky. Yeah, Kentucky hammered LSU 42-21. My buddy at work is happy. And it probably wasn't even that close. And LSU has got to be seriously doing some soul searching now.
They're not doing soul searching. They're
coaching searching.
They're doing the coaching searching. They're perusing the yellow pages of future candidates. Again, do you know who LSU's next four games are, right?
Well, I know that Alabama's in the mix. I don't know who else is.
They play Florida this week, okay? At Ole Miss, at Alabama, Arkansas.
Oh, they're toast.
Yeah.
They're toast.
So, this is their 2012. He will be unemployed very soon.
2012. Yep. Tennessee, South Carolina. Yeah, Tennessee seems like they can score some points anyway, surprisingly.
They're frisky.
Yeah, they are frisky balls. Florida beat Vanderbilt as expected, 42-0. Missouri, North Texas, 48-35. Come on, Missouri, show some self-respect. SEC team.
It was like 31-7 at halftime.
All right, that's fair. Now, the Oklahoma-Texas game we talked about a little bit already was kind of crazy, just because Texas was just killing them in the first quarter and they came back.
That was an incredibly fun game. And again, like, that game and the Arkansas-Miss game were both on in the early time slot.
Oh, yeah.
They were both just electric.
Yeah.
Fun back and forth football games. And Texas was up so big in that game. And then Oklahoma, and this is huge, like, Oklahoma changed quarterbacks and put in the freshman Caleb and benched Spencer Rattler. And then they came back and won the game. And now they got this, like, the number one, you know, Heisman favorite going into the season on their bench, probably. And he may transfer.
Good grief. Good grief. And then I had a note here about Iowa. I thought Penn State was going to win. If our lock of the week was including non-SEC games, I would have picked Penn State lock of the week over Iowa. And they were on the way to doing that when stupid can't throw an incomplete pass Clifford gets hurt and goes out, and Iowa comes back at the very, very end and wins because they couldn't even move the ball.
Well, I mean, Penn State's backup quarterback was not good.
No, they couldn't move the ball at all without Clifford.
No, I mean, Iowa's defense is excellent, right? After Georgia, they probably had the best defense. And so it's tough when you play in their stadium But, I mean, Penn State's backup quarterback was an absolute non-factor.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
They couldn't do anything. It just makes me mad because we lost to Penn State at their best on their wideout, and now they're going to turn around and be like, oh, you know, Iowa beat them, so they're not nothing, and they couldn't even.
Well, again, they still got to play Ohio State, Michigan. So.
Yeah, exactly. It just ticks me off because now it's going to look like we lost to a 8-4 team, and just ticks me off. They were a top five team. Let's see. Coming up, Florida at LSU is usually fun, but Florida should hammer them, right? I mean, that. Yeah, yes. You never know. You never know.
That Boutte guy is now out for the season, so Florida's going to hammer them.
Oh, gosh. Well, then, yeah, they got nothing. Texas A&M at Missouri, but I don't know. Is this a letdown for A&M after they're all congratulating each other, patting each other on the back?
I would say that, but Missouri's defense has been so bad. I feel like Texas A&M could just line up and run the ball on them and win solidly. So,
Kentucky at Georgia. Does Kentucky have a chance?
No.
I'm not going to ring them up, though, John. I'm not going to do it. I can't. I don't know. I mean, I know Georgia's going to win, but that's going to be a grinded out war of attrition right there. I think it's going to be close for the first half. We'll see.
It's going to be like the Arkansas game.
All right. That's cool. Vanderbilt at South Carolina. The Chickens finally get a win. It's a big weekend for barbecue. Auburn at Arkansas and South Carolina Vanderbilt. Alabama at Mississippi State. Does Mississippi State have anything since they did beat Texas A&M?
This game will be closer than people think it will.
Yeah.
I mean, Alabama's going to be mad. They're going to come back and play them. But Mississippi, again, Alabama's not going to do the dumb thing Texas A&M did where they play the same defense they did last year for four quarters. But I think Mississippi State's solid, and their defense is kind of disruptive, and I think they'll hang around in this game.
And finally, Ole Miss at Tennessee.
My cold, dead hands.
Lock of the week.
Ole Miss. Tennessee's going to make it interesting. Tennessee's going to make it interesting, but Ole Miss is going to win.
I liked the full cast after dark this week. They referred to how Tennessee's offense has kind of been really good the last few weeks. It's kind of MacGyver Tennessee, MacGyver Ole Miss.
MacGyver Ole Miss. Well, they're playing the real deal this time, and Ole Miss is on a roll. It. They got the big win over Arkansas, and I feel like they're going to take down Tennessee. And Ole Miss is looking pretty darn good.
Yeah, I definitely don't think Tennessee can stop Ole Miss.
If I had told you like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that either Ole Miss or Texas A&M was going to beat Alabama, which one would you have said did it?
It's a good question. I definitely would have said it wouldn't be Ole Miss because A&M had that terrible backup quarterback. So
yeah, it's tough. I don't know, but yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. Any final thoughts?
You know, this is the SEC. This is what you know. We played two tough games in a row. And now we got to, you know, we played a bunch of tough games so far. We're coming off the Georgia game, and now we got to go to Arkansas and play another tough game. So this is what it is. And
then we get Ole Miss.
That's it. So I mean, there's no, you know, there's no let up, there's no break, and all that kind of stuff. You got to just keep fighting, and I think this team's going to do that, and we got to keep doing it too.
That's it. Yeah, not a lot of we had the cupcakes in the appetizer section of the menu, and now it's nothing but chewy old tough boot leather steak the rest of the way through, man. Oh, it's tough.
It is. So again, in the long run, what we want to see is just some development improvement.
Yeah.
Give us some hope for the future, kind of.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind getting to a bowl game this year, but I understand if with this schedule if we don't. So, John, I have a work meeting to go to. I appreciate you working with me to get this done early today, and I will see how things go, and I will report back next week.
Sounds good.
All right, we are out of here. I had the wrong button. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Wiggle, John.
Wiggle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @auwishbone and at facebook.com/auwishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.